Let's just chat a little bit about it.
We're talking today with Clay Pope, of course, the Executive Director of the Oklahoma Association of Conservation Districts. Clay, let's talk a little bit about your meeting's just wrapped up. You've had a chance to talk about some of the issues with your board and got maybe some direction on where you're going to be trying to set policy in the days to come, especially at the State House. What are some things that you see as things that you're really going to be emphasizing over the next 12 months?
Well, of course, in the area that we work in natural resource conservation, making sure that we've got the tools necessary to work with farmers and ranchers and other landowners to take advantage of those programs that are out there, whether they be state programs or federal growth programs, to help address problems like soil erosion, water conservation, water quality, wildlife habitat, all of those things that we deal with in the natural resource arena, especially in light of some of the changes with the Farm Bill. We need to make sure that our delivery system is a solid as it can be, help producers to understand what the changes in the law on the federal level are, and then make sure that we have the resources to make sure that those dollars are getting on the ground and that we have the state dollars to match on the federal side. One program in particular, when you're talking about federal match, there actually Congressman Lucas, in his role as chairman of the House Ag Committee, was able to secure funding for a rehabilitation of upstream flood control structures in the Farm Bill. About $250 million it is available to match with states. They match with states on a 2-to-1 basis. We're trying to come up with some matching money at the state level to provide some resources to go out and capture some of this money and fix some of these aging flood control structures. You know, we've got over 2,100 of them in the state. Over 1,000 of them are past their design life. Many of these structures, actually, when we repair them, can be made into reservoirs. And, of course, with the water situation in Oklahoma, that's another thing that we're looking at. We're actually pushing on the federal level to see if there can be some changes to allow for cost share from municipalities to make some of these structures into what's called a multi-purpose site. And it's just not just flood control protection, but also providing drinking water for the cities downstream. This is something we're really excited about, you know, and that's kind of a segue into the other thing I think we're really looking at, which is the drought. You know, it's easy to think with the rain that we've had in July and the fall and some of the things that we felt like most of the state was out of the drought, but when you look at where the weather's going right now, wouldn't take a whole lot to push us right back into it. And if you're from Southwest Oklahoma or parts of the panhandle, you never got out of it. You know, those of us who are even in central Oklahoma, that wheat, you know, starting in January started to go backwards in a hurry. And my concern is if some of these forecasts, as far as either La Nina or El Nino setting up, it looks like it's what I heard one gentleman say, it's actually La Nada, because there's actually nothing setting up. You know, there's a 50-50 chance that you're not going to see anything break one way or another. If we have an El Nino, it's probably going to be a late one and a weak one. Well, what's that going to mean for Oklahoma as far as rainfall this spring, summer, and going into the early fall? I think we need to be thinking about that, thinking about water policy, thinking about water quality. You know, we've had a lot of success in protecting our water. We want to make sure that we don't slide backwards on that. So we've got a lot of things out there. It's an exciting time with the passage of the Farm Bill. There's some tight challenges as far as the state budget's concerned, but we're going to do what we can to make sure we can help producers deal with those natural resource issues in a way that makes sense for their bottom line, done voluntarily in a way that respects private property rights, but at the same time conserves and protects those resources so we can continue to feed and clothe the world and do it in a way that's sustainable and protects those resources for future generations.
When it comes to Farm Bill, conservation title, a lot of streamlining, a lot of bringing various programs and maybe consolidating and all of that. Are you satisfied as you read the language that was finally approved of what was done?
We are satisfied. You know, like the rest of us, you know, talk about tight budgets, talk about changes both on the state and federal level. We all have got to do our part to tighten our belt and make sure that we're being the best stewards that we can of the taxpayers' dollars and those resources that are entrusted to us by the general public. You look at the conservation title, again, praising Chairman Lucas, Chairwoman Stabenow, their work that they did together in a bipartisan basis to come up with a good bill. We're very happy with the language in the conservation title. You know, you see the CSP program, which actually is the biggest conservation program now in the United States. Oklahoma is one of the leading states in the nation for sign-up of CSP. EQIP, which is the flagship program, obviously, of the conservation title as far as cost-share programs, that continues to be strong. You saw some other programs rolled into that. Some of the percentages of that money will be reserved for some of those purposes of those other programs, but it gives you some flexibility at the state level. If you don't use those dollars for those purposes, you can move them to other more priority issues in your state, which gives you some local control and gives the states the ability to move some money around. We think that's a good thing. So, you know, again, mentioning the upstream flood control program and the matching money there, some of the things that were done as far as giving states and local conservation districts and local producers some say in some of these priority areas. One of the concerns we've had on priority areas from the federal government in the past, things like the Chesapeake Bay, the Mississippi River Project, those were dictated from top down. In Oklahoma, we feel like conservation works best from the ground up, you know, having grassroots, locally led efforts where the local conservation districts who are locally elected by those cooperators and serve as the voice of those cooperators, local folks making local decisions and having a voice in the process. That's key. And that's something I think was really pushed in this farm bill. And we're hopeful that we can play a role then in making sure that, that as those programs, as far as Oklahoma is concerned, that we can help with that and make sure that it's done in a proper manner.
Mentioned water quality. We've heard some reports that we're looking good over in the Illinois River.
So there are really good numbers in the Illinois River. When you see some of the things that have come out of Arkansas, some of the studies that they've done, that trend lines into what we've done in Oklahoma. In fact, coming up, hopefully here in the next month, we're reviewing some numbers with EPA. And, you know, for 2 years in a row, the past 2 years, Oklahoma's been number one in nutrient reduction among all the states in the union. We're optimistic that we're going to see some very good numbers again this year as far as overall nutrient reduction. We'll be announcing that later in March at Conservation Day at the Capitol. We haven't got those numbers all put together yet, but it looks good. We're excited about the work that continues to be done. And again, in Oklahoma, it's so important to stress, we lead the nation in non-point source pollution reduction, but it's all done through voluntary methods. It's not done through regulations. There have been some lawsuits in the past, but you look at statewide, the work we're doing on the North Canadian, the work for the most part being done in Uchi-Spavinaw and on the Illinois River, the work that was done in Fort Cobb, the work that's been done in places like Wolf Creek, Cooper Creek, some of these other areas, voluntary in nature. Nobody's coming in with the iron fist of regulation saying do this or else. It's with that open hand of friendship and cooperation, designing practices that work for your operation, that make sense for you, and then doing what you can to make sure that natural resource issue, in this case water quality concerns, are addressed. Something I think we should all be proud of. It speaks to the stewardship, I think, of the farmers and ranchers of Oklahoma, and something I think we should all wear as a badge of honor in this state and really, like I said, poke out our chest and feel good about, because it does show what farmers and ranchers, when you work with them, you know, I always say I'm a producer myself. You can lead me anywhere, but I'll be damned if I'll be pushed. If you'll work with me, if you'll show me there's a problem, and then help me to work to make sure that it's done in a way that makes sense for me, both economically and the way my operation is managed, we can get somewhere. And I think we've proven that in Oklahoma, and hopefully we'll continue to do that over the years to come.